What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Inside Inter Miami, the Miami Herald show about all things Inter Miami. I'm your host, Andre Fernandez, deputy sports editor, joined once again by our beat writer, Michelle Kaufman, back for another edition of talking about this team that things appear to be going, a lot better on the scoreboard. We got animated. We got some dancing moves in this week's episode for Michelle. But things are going well for this team on the scoreboard the last couple of games. An advancement in the Champions Cup, a victory over DC United. But the man himself, Lionel Messi, injured in that Champions Cup game. What's the latest, Michelle? What is the Messiah coming back anytime soon?
Well, the latest, hello, everybody. The latest on Leo Messi is he has a mild hamstring strain. So it's not anything serious, but anyone who's had a hamstring issue knows that's something you don't want to mess with because then you aggravate it. It really has to be completely healed before you're going to do something like sprint across a soccer field. So, for normal people, we just walk around, but for athletes, they really do have to be careful with the hamstrings. So that has been a recurring issue with him. That is, a leg muscle that's been a problem for him. The Argentine Soccer Federation just announced yesterday that he will not be available. He will not be available for their two games coming up, which is this Friday in Philadelphia against El Salvador and against Costa Rica next week in LA. The thinking was that he was going to play in those games and, that's why he had rested for the DC game, but he's apparently not going to be available and will not be playing in those games. Tata said the other day that, the hope is that the plan and the hope is that he will be available for sure for the Champions Cup quarterfinals, which are April 2nd. April 2nd or 3rd against Monterrey. So that is sort of the goal. They want to make sure that he can play in that. That's the current cup, the current important thing, in navigating this season. Tata has said all along that they really have to focus on which are the do or die games that are coming up and which are the games where there is margin for error. And margin for error means the MLS season goes on and on through eternity until the end of November. So there is room there. If they were to not use him for a couple of games in the beginning of the season, there's room for error there to make up in the standings later if you drop a few points. Whereas in a do or die tournament like they're in now with Champions Cup, there is not that opportunity. So that is where the priority is going to be for right now for the beginning of the season, is to make sure that he's available for that quarterfinal against Monterrey. The first leg is in Miami and in Fort Lauderdale. And the second leg is in Monterrey in Mexico the following week. So, I don't know about this Saturday's game. I'm assuming, and we'll know more tomorrow. We'll have an opportunity to get some information tomorrow at training. But if he's not going to play for Argentina Friday or next week, I'm assuming that he's not going to travel to New York to play in the New York Red Bulls game on Saturday. I don't know that for sure, but if he's already been ruled out of the two Argentina games, I would think that maybe he will be ruled out of the New York game, and then he'll have another whole week till the 30th for the next game, which is here. And that one is against NYCFC, the other New York team. Maybe he'll be ready for that and then go into the Champions Cup quarterfinal. So right now he is recovering from a mild strained hamstring. That is the story on Leo and his injury.
Yeah. And as Michelle said, that tomorrow she's referring to is Wednesday's training. And, everybody will be listening early before that training to the show.
Exactly.
No, that's okay. It's just that's giving people kind of like the perspective of that. But no, like you said before, I mean, I know from my years of covering other sports too, in any sport, hamstrings are nothing to mess around with. I remember in baseball, you don't want guys running the bases, let alone in a soccer field on an open pitch, no matter what your age is, and mess that up. So I think it's a lot. You're right. I doubt they would play against the Red Bulls that game, of course, on the 23rd, coming up against, that's their next MLS game. But maybe that New York City FC game. It is April 3rd, by the way, at 8:00. If you're making plans for that Champions Cup game against Monterrey, that's the first leg, which will be in Miami, in Fort Lauderdale, excuse me. And then they'll face Monterrey the second half of that, April 10th, late start time on the East Coast, 10:30 out in Monterrey, for those following along. But yeah, it the good thing for this team is that they were able to win. They were able to hang on in the first instance, and then they were able to win a game on the road without Messi. And that, as we know, was a very difficult task for this team last year when they didn't have the numbers, they didn't have the depth, and most importantly, they didn't have your boy. They didn't have the Pistolero. They didn't have Luis Suarez coming in off the bench like he did against DC United to score those goals and save the day and earn them 3 points in the standings. A remarkable performance there to get those two in just a 13-minute span. Campana also scored. This team showing that they can do it. And Messi left the field in the 50th minute in that Champions Cup game. But they, I mean, I watched that one every minute of that game, and they just dominated Nashville, which was impressive to see considering how close of a series it's been between those two.
Absolutely. I mean, I think they've shown a lot. I think we can gather a lot from these last two games. The team, the way they played at Nashville is a very, very good team. Nashville has an excellent coach who also always has his teams prepared, Gary Smith. And Miami really dominated them. The way they played when they're on all cylinders and everything is going and everybody's healthy and you've got those players out there, all of their starters, that is a very, very formidable team. That's going to be a very, really tough team to beat for any MLS team. That's going to be a very hard team to beat when you have all of the marquee players were playing. And they were in that game. All the stars were out for that game. Everybody played in that game. And, you know, Messi scored and Suarez scored, Taylor scored. And, you know, Taylor scored after Messi left the game, which was important. It's really, really important for this team to show that it can score and it can win without Messi, because as we see already, there are going to be many multiple games where he's not going to be available for various reasons, either for injury or for Argentine national team during Copa America or during some World Cup qualifiers. So he's going to have other commitments, or he's going to be injured or taking a rest for load management, which the older athletes do these days in all the sports, it seems. So other guys have to show that they can win. And this team, before this game against DC, they had gone 7 games in a row without him. They had lost. They had lost the previous 7 games, or not lost, excuse me. They had not won. They were winless for 7 games without Messi in a row. So they had 3 ties and 4 losses, but had not won a single game over a stretch of 7 without Messi. So first of all, in the first game that we're talking about, the Nashville game, the team, not only did they play well offensively and the link-ups were really good. By the way, Feder Redondo seems to really be getting much more comfortable with his role, playing alongside Busquets, running and setting up plays, linking up with players, making really smart decisions. I watched him very closely the last two games. He makes very, very smart decisions. There are moments where he will steal the ball or steal a pass, get in the passing lane, and just make a very small, short, deliberate pass to someone, as opposed to just, you know, clearing it out into the stands. He doesn't just typically just clear the ball into the stands. He has a purpose, just the way Busquets does. You know, all of his passes are deliberate and seem to have a purpose to move the ball forward and get things going offensively from the back of the midfield. So I think that he's coming along. And then Suarez, you know, the guy, there was so much question at the beginning of this season, like, oh, people were already criticizing after 2 games. This guy is washed up. He can barely move. He's, you know, jogging around the field like an 80-year-old. This was a bad decision. What are we doing? He's not going to be able to do anything. And all of a sudden now he's got 5 goals and 6 assists. You know, he's playing really, really well. And no, he's not going to be running sprints up and down the field. But that man, when he gets the ball in the area, he knows how to finish, just like Messi. And that is so much easier said than done. But the way you know it is when you watch all the other players who also are very good players. But when they get the ball, sometimes right in the six-yard mark, right in the middle, right in the front of the goal, and they either shank it over, shank it to the side, wide left, wide right, or straight to the goalie, straight to the goalkeeper. So, you know, to be able to find the back of the net the way Luis Suarez does, there's a reason that he's a pistolero, because, you know, you see when you watch other players who are good players, Campana's a good player, Robert Taylor's a good player, other players are good players, you know, Diego Gomez, but there is something about Luis Suarez and about Messi that they just have excellent skill, excellent aim, and they know how to thread a needle. They know how to thread a needle. Or in the case of Suarez the other day, his goal against DC, where he's in up close, the DC keeper has a very good angle on him, and he decides to chip it. And when you're going to chip it, that's not easy either, because you have to chip it without hitting it over the crossbar. You've got to get it just under the crossbar, but just over the fingertips of a goalkeeper who's already guessed in the right direction where you're shooting. And that is not easy to do. And he did it. And, you know, those are the kind of plays that produce goals. And that is what his reputation has been for all these years. And that is why Inter Miami signed him. He scored a lot of goals in Brazil last year, despite the knees. And he had really bad knee issues last year, and he still scored a lot of goals. And I think he scored 17 goals, had 10 assists, something like that, or just in league play. So he's a guy that is absolutely living up to his billing at this point.
Yeah, and the chip is funny you mentioned that, because I think at any level of soccer, fans will watch and go, oh my God, how could he blow that? I mean, it is very one of those technical plays that it's just so hard to pull off sometimes. It doesn't seem like it, to, you know, just from a distance, but it really is. And they're artists. They're no doubt about it. No matter, doesn't, even now that they're in their mid, late 30s, you can tell. And it's interesting too. We talked about Messi's maintenance plan, but Suarez too. Can he sustain that level throughout the season? Well, we're seeing already Inter Miami doing that at times. He didn't start this game. But look at these impacts that he can make coming off the bench, maybe playing a set amount of minutes, not the entire 90, but he can come in and do that. And a guy of his caliber is a game changer, no matter what age. And it's good to see that he can still do it. The whole thing is maintaining himself durable and being able to play on the field as much as possible for this season, because when this depth that they've added makes such a difference for this team. And and now you're starting to see it. Now they're settling into the season, settling into the campaign, juggling what we had talked about, juggling tournaments with the MLS season.
Yeah, and I think it needs to be pointed out that Tata Martino deserves a good grade on his report card so far, because he is the one who's going to have to manage and make these decisions about who's playing, when they're playing, how many minutes are they playing. And of course, the fans want to see all the stars starting in every game. But you go to DC, and I was actually a little curious. I said, oh, wow, you know, Messi's not even here, and he's resting Suarez and Alba. The only one of the four who was out there was Busquets in the starting lineup. And I was a little curious how that was going to go, if they were going to sit out the whole game. Are they going to come in later? When are they going to come in? And Tata said afterward that the plan from the beginning was, you know, Luis Suarez has been playing a lot considering his knees and everything. So they decided he's going to play 30 minutes. They told him in advance, you're going to play 30 minutes in this game. The final 30 minutes, that's what you're going to play. And Alba, too, they rested him, even though he's a tiny bit, 1 or 2 years younger. But he's still, you know, 34. You know, they're also going to rest him. And he had played a lot of games in a row. They were also going to rest him and have him only play about 30 minutes. And look at what happened. I mean, the team did well without them. Campana scored, which was really nice to see. I mean, he worked so hard, and he is such a team player. I want to point out that Leo Campana, you know, somebody else would be a prima donna in his position. He's on the Ecuadorian national team. He was a starter on this team. And then, you know, he got displaced by Higuain. And then he got, you know, shoved aside a little bit when Joseph Martinez joined the team, and they thought, oh, they're going to play with two forwards. And then, no, they only played with one forward, and it wasn't him. A lot of games, it was Joseph Martinez and Campana coming off the bench. And so now you bring in Messi, and he's not going to start over Messi, but maybe he'll be next by Messi. And then, oh, but now they bring in Suarez. I mean, this poor guy, you know, not poor, he's a rich athlete. Okay, I never really mean to say poor for a professional athlete, they're not poor. But the guy, for as long as he's been here, they've been bringing in another high profile forward and another high profile forward and another high profile forward. And somebody else might be moping. Somebody else might be maybe even demanding a trade. Like, hey, I'm good enough to start in MLS. I should be able to play, and I should maybe go somewhere else. This is ridiculous. They keep bringing in new people, and I'm always going to be sitting on the bench. But he does not have that attitude at all. In fact, he talked about it after the game that, you know, he's just so happy to help this team and to be on this team, and that this team is going to need, over the course of this season, it's going to need everybody to step up, whether they start and play 60 or whether they play 30 and don't start. Everyone on this team is going to have to contribute when all those other guys are not able to play. And he has very willingly and maturely, it's a pretty young guy, he's very willingly and maturely taken on that role. And so it's nice to see him score, you know, when he scores and gets to celebrate. And wow, did he celebrate! We had some great photos of his celebration with Redondo, because Redondo was the guy who fed him the ball. These are two 21-year-old guys, and Redondo was working that ball into the box, really making, you know, making finding a way to move the ball forward through a sea of defenders. And then literally from the ground, he had sort of fallen down, and from the ground, you know, gets the ball to Campana, who then scores. So, you know, it was a really nice moment to see two young guys without the, you know, Galacticos, without the Mount Rushmore boys out there. It was the young guys who put that goal together. But then they were still maybe not going to win the game, and Suarez comes in, and bam, bam. Suarez scores two goals right away in a span of, I believe, 13 or 14 minutes. He scored two goals. And so it's really a good combination to see the older stars that we know what they can do, but what can this team do when those guys are not playing? And I think the win at DC was really, really important to show that with Messi sitting back home, not even in the stadium, they were able to win that game, and you know, win the game convincingly. Without Lionel Messi, they were fine.
Yeah, and like you said, it's the MLS season where, like you said, it goes on. It does feel like it goes on forever. And there are going to be a lot of spot games like this where they're going to have to win this way. Maybe even more shorthanded than they were. Who knows? But the buy-in, I think, is very interesting to see because, like you said, these are big paycheck guys. These are, you know, they're, let's be honest, there are big egos on this team. But
Oh,
winning,
yes.
but the winning. Especially, I think winning helps, and the fact that this team, with all of its incredible expectations that they have, are starting to show tangible results on the scoreboard, whether it's in Champions Cup, in the MLS season. It's still very early, but they're off to a good start, and I think you're starting to see that buy-in that they were hoping to have. And guys like Leo Campana are the textbook example of that. And he'll have more opportunities to have big moments like that for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the thing is, a lot of these guys, they don't want to be on another team. They'd rather, even if they have to be on the bench some of the time, they want to be on Messi's team. You know, this
Right.
is a once in a lifetime opportunity to be a teammate of arguably the best player in history in your sport. It would be like telling someone they could be Michael Jordan's teammate or LeBron James' teammate. You know, this is a chance for these younger guys to be a teammate, and even the older guys who are on the team who don't start. You have a choice of being a starter on, you know, another team in Kansas City or in, you know, Seattle or wherever, or you can be on the bench and contributing to Lionel Messi's team, which also includes, by the way, the supporting cast of Busquets, Alba, Luis Suarez, you know, Gressel and whatever. So you've got, you know, you have guys who maybe could go to another team, and I'm sure Campana could. and choosing to stay here because they want to be on this team. Of course, Miami is also a pretty cool place to live, and the weather is good, and there's no state income tax. Let's not forget about that with professional athletes. A lot of professional athletes love to work in the state of Florida in every sport. I sometimes think that's why the Florida Panthers have also gotten so good, because if you come to Florida and you're a hockey player in the state of Florida, you don't have any state income tax. So, athletes like to be in Florida. They love to be in Miami for many reasons, and Miami in particular, the Latin community, the warm weather, the no state income tax. I mean, there's a lot of reasons. Celebrity owner David Beckham, and now you've got this all-star lineup on your team. So it's kind of fun for those guys, although it is stressful. There's more expectations on that team than there are if you were in some other market in MLS. But the spotlight is also on you. And that means that when you're playing, when you do get your minutes, if you're Robert Taylor, if you're Leo Campana, you're Diego Gomez, you're David Ruiz, when you do get moments, the world is watching. And that means scouts in Europe are watching. That means fans around the world are watching. Maybe sponsors are watching. Agents are watching. All eyes are on you when you're playing on Messi's team. And so those guys, such as Campana, even though he's not a starter most of the time on this in this team, he was against DC a starter, and he will be a starter again because all these games that Messi's going to miss, Leo Campana may start in a lot of those games. So they're really building something of blending, but that took some time and will continue to take time. Again, like we said, this is still very early. We're still only in March. We still have April, May, June, July, August, September, October. Oh my goodness. We have a lot of months of soccer ahead of us. Who knows what's going to happen? But for right now, they really are off to a good start. And I don't want to hog the microphone, but I did want to mention one more thing on the DC game, which is that the fans, I would say it was 50-50 in pink, and 50, the other 50% were for DC United. In fact, when the DC United got a red card late, like in the 90th minute, the fans were cheering. Yeah, this was the home stadium of DC United, and they were cheering. Gressel said he was had never seen that before. He said that the home field fans were cheering when their player got a red card. And it was interesting to me because I was there, I was covering the game live, and I decided before the game to go speak to some fans standing around the stadium who were wearing pink. And in my mind, I thought they were going to be angry. I thought, oh, they're probably going to be mad when they find out that Leo Messi's not playing because they brought their pink shirts. They probably spent a lot of money on these tickets, and now they're going to find out that Messi, maybe they don't even know that Messi's not here. They're going to be mad. They're going to be angry. That's the narrative that I sort of had in my mind, and that's why it's important that journalists should not have narratives when you should really go and do your reporting, because sometimes what you find out is not what you thought was going to be. And what I found was, at least the people that I spoke to, they said, oh no, I'm not mad. Yes, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed he's not here. He's my favorite player. Here are my two sons. He's their favorite player. We really wanted to see him, but this is still Messi's team. That's how they refer to it. This is Messi's team, and we are fans of Messi's team. We watch Inter Miami on TV. There was one guy from Delaware who drove 2.5 hours to the game, and he said he never really watched MLS before. When Messi arrived on the team last July, he started watching the Inter Miami games and he became a fan of Inter Miami. And he said, so this is still Messi's team to me, which is my team that I follow. So even if I don't see him, I'm going to get to see Busquets. I'm going to get to see Alba. I'm going to get to see Suarez. And he said, and I'm really looking forward to seeing Redondo, the new Argentine kid, Redondo. And I said, wow, I was really impressed. That and I said, oh, are you from Argentina? And he said, no, I'm from El Salvador, but I'm curious to see Redondo. So it really dawned on me after speaking to these fans, and I spoke to multiple, and they all gave similar answers, that this team is not just Messi that some of those fans want to see. Now in Hong Kong, they did want to just see Messi, it seems like, but in some of these other MLS markets, there are fans showing up at the games. And they are rooting for Inter Miami because they view this as Messi's team. And they are fans of Messi, so they're going to root for Messi's team, even if it's in their hometown, which is interesting. That was an interesting perspective that I didn't anticipate.
Yeah, and it's something that it's music to their ears because, you know, we've worried, and I'm sure they've worried, the fact that, you know, this is all about Messi. When he goes a couple of years from now, whenever, that's it. It's all over. How do we sustain this? Well, if they're sort of built, if they've planted successfully that seed, and it looks like, it sounds like, I don't know how many fans feel that way, but it looks like there's a seed planted there for teams to really pick up on this team. And going back to the player thing, I think bottom line with this is do you want to be a star on the fifth place team, or do you want to be part of something that documentaries are going to be made of? You know what I mean? Like, this could be like the Jordan documentary years from now, things like that. Like, if this team does what they're supposed to do, and it's already being made. I mean, documentaries have already been made about Messi already and coming to the U.S. and playing. But this season, if it lives up to expectations, could be one of those special ones that are always looked back upon 20, 30 years from now or something like that. So I could see why players like a Campana or Taylor want to be part of that, because they want to say years from now, I was on that squad. I lived it. I was there for it. And tell their own stories to people about stuff that probably, you know, happened behind the scenes that no one knows about, and being said, you know, documentaries or whatnot. And speaking of Robert Taylor, it looks like he will not be playing for the Finland team after in this latest wave. Looks like he was able to stick around a little bit. That's a good thing, at least for Inter Miami's depth.
Absolutely. I mean, he put out a statement. It was written in Finnish. So I had to do the Google translator because I didn't know what it said, but the Google translator showed that that yes, he announced that he was going to, that he's going to skip the Finland games because he was going to stay with Inter Miami for this stretch, which is really, really important. It was really great for Inter Miami to see that they're going to have him, even if they're going to be missing Messi now, let's say, for this next game against New York, they will still have Robert Taylor. And we have already seen that Robert Taylor is a very, very talented forward who can score. So that's really important.
All right. Well, let's wrap this this puppy up for this week, talking a little bit about the next game. The next game will be an MLS game, as we mentioned before, against the New York Red Bulls. And going into this one, like we said before, we've seen the depth come into play. It's going to have to come into play again because it looks like Messi will not be at least not play. I don't know if he'll be there, but he won't be playing in this game of the Red Bulls more than likely. So, Michelle, how do they keep this momentum rolling and get past the Red Bulls to tack on another 3 points potentially?
Yeah, by the way, I want to correct one stat that I had. Luis Suarez has 6 goals and 5 assists. Goals and 6 assists. He All actually right. has 6 goals, 6 pistoleros.
6 pistoleros. There you go.
6 pistoleros, 6 goals, 5 assists, which is really unbelievable. He's one of the league leaders already in the league, and so is Messi. As far as Red Bulls, it's pretty interesting because their hottest player right now is Lewis Morgan. So for people who have been watching this team for a long time, Lewis Morgan was a fan favorite here, a Scottish player who was a really important player for Inter Miami and a really great winger who has great speed and is good at crossing the ball and can score as well. He's had 2 games in a row. The game-winning goal was scored by Lewis Morgan. So, you know, this is going to be interesting. He's pretty hot right now. Their team it's a good team. They're having a mixed bag start of the season. They're in 6th place, but it's still so early. I mean, they're tied with other teams up there. They're very close in the top 6, and they're coming off a loss, but they did beat Dallas and they beat Houston. And those 2 games, Lewis Morgan had the game-winning goal. So I'm sure he's going to want to have a good game against Miami. Again, we don't know who's going to be playing for Miami. This is always, every game day is kind of an adventure to wait and see when does the, it's kind of like when you're at the Oscars and you wait to open the envelope and the winner is, this is not a team where you typically just know the starting lineup week to week. This is a team where Tata is being very calculating in who's playing when and who's starting and who's coming off the bench. And he and his staff have obviously been putting together a plan like, okay, this game, this guy's going to start and this one's going to come and play 30 minutes. And we are not privy to that information. The fans also have to understand that we don't know. There is one thing interesting about this season. All the MLS teams are being more transparent. I'm assuming this is a directive from the league because it just happened all of a sudden. Everybody they are required to post an injury report, availability report at 5 p.m. the day before their match. So on Friday at 5 p.m. the other day, we found out, you know, it said Lionel Messi out, you know, hamstring. So you will know 24 hours before if someone is ruled out. They will be listed on there. And then also they can put questionable or doubtful or other things. But each team is putting out some type of report. You know, you don't know if they're being 100% truthful all the time, but there is more transparency and an effort toward more transparency to have an injury report, an availability report 24 hours before the game. So we always will know a little bit more on the Friday afternoon before the game, but we really don't know because I would have still assumed, even with Messi out on that list, I would have assumed that Suarez and Busquets and Alba were going to start, and I was not correct. So the coaches are the only ones who really know, and the players. So the Red Bulls, we'll see. We'll see how they do. It's going to be an away game. It is going to be cold. I'm going to be there, by the way. I'm going to New York to cover that game as well. It is going to be chilly. It could be like in the 50s. So not going to be a hot game. It'll be kind of a cooler climate. Like I said, Lewis Morgan is on a bit of a hot streak and will be highly motivated. And they typically, you know, they have a certain style. The Red Bulls are always known sort of as a high-pressing team. So, you know, they have a certain style that I'm sure Inter Miami is going to be preparing for, although things do change year to year, game to game. So yeah, we'll see. I mean, if they can keep this streak going and get another win or a tie, just continue to collect points. You know, Miami is right now in first place. Miami's in first place. They have 10 points and they have a lot of goals scored for. They're leading the league, you know, they're leading in scoring and they're in first place in the league, which, you know, we haven't seen that in a long time, even early in the season, to see Inter Miami on the very tippy top of that table. Miami was never really sitting on top of the table. Miami was in the middle of the table or under the table, down at the bottom of the table, under the table, getting scraps at the bottom of the table. They're now at the top. They're at the top of the table and trying to maintain that.
Yeah, they're used to being buried for some. It's like earlier you mentioned the Higuain, and that feels like it was 100 years ago with this team. Like it's like a past life, pretty much the way this team has just been transformed. But interesting on the injury front, though. The MLS kind of taking a cue from other leagues like the NFL, the NBA that do these inactives or injury reports, and the timing, you know, definitely not coincidental. I think with all the chaos in the preseason of, you know, protests and whatnot over, you know, not knowing or knowing if Messi's going to play. Interesting that now they start to enforce this.
Yeah,
the Messi rule. Right.
The Messi rule. I mean, I really think, of course, it'll never be said, but I really do think it's kind of like the Beckham rule. You know, they all of a sudden changed, you know, that they could have designated players. When you have a player who's an icon who comes to the league, you know, they impact the league in every possible way. And, you know, I do think that it was becoming an issue that people felt, whether it was true or not. The perception is as important as reality. The perception was that the club was not being transparent and that they were withholding information, that they knew Messi was not going to play and they just weren't saying it. And then people are buying tickets and then they're disappointed. So in this way, 24 hours before, you will know. And if he is ruled out, it is possible that he wakes up on the day of a game and is supposed to play and then, you know, feels a tweak during warmups and doesn't play. This isn't to say he's never going to play if he's ruled out of a game, the odds are he's not going to play in that game and he's probably not going to even travel to that game. And then the people who bought tickets can make their decision. If they want to try to dump him off in the secondary market, they can. So, you know, but again, it's interesting. I found that the stadium was full It was sold out, the DC Stadium, and there were so many people in pink jerseys. And it was, I asked Russell what that felt like. Has he ever been in a situation where when you're on the road, you have people cheering for you, so many people? And he said no, that this is highly unusual, that it is interesting to not have the entire opposing stadium against you. That's usually what you're preparing for on the road. And when you're with Messi's team, you're going to have a certain segment in every stadium that's probably going to be pretty favorable toward your team. So it's going to be interesting to see how this season plays out. So far, things are going well for them, except for the fact that Lionel Messi is injured, which you would think, would everybody would be in a panic. But because the team has played well, without him the other day against DC, and when he came off in the 50th minute in the Nashville game, the team was able to, to withhold and keep the lead and keep the win. I think that that's really, really, really important and vital for this team.
Well, I think the biggest relief was that when his lower leg got stepped on in that first leg against Nashville, that it wasn't anything catastrophic, because that I think was the oh crap moment, to say it politely, of the season so far. But luckily he bounced back from that, and now dealing with something that's far less serious than what that could have been or that looked like in the moment. But
Yeah,
let's
and
see.
my guess is honestly, when looking at the cups ahead, you have the Champions Cup and then Copa America, which means a lot to him. He's from Argentina. They are the defending champions.
Yeah,
This could
for
be his
sure.
last Copa. And for South American teams, the Copa America is, it's number two to the World
It's
Cup. It is
huge.
the World Cup of South America. It's huge. And this year, of course, it's in the United States and it's including CONCACAF teams. So the US will be in it, and Mexico will be in it, and Panama, I think Jamaica. So, this is a really big tournament looming in June. We are now at, toward the end of March. And so Lionel Messi is saying, and his coaches are probably saying, listen, you've got Champions Cup quarterfinals coming up. This is a $5 million tournament. This is a really big deal for us. That's April 3rd. And then the next one, April 3rd, and then April 10th. And then after that, 2 months later, you have Copa America. He is not going to mess around and play in a March MLS game if he doesn't have to. He's probably not going to play against New York if he doesn't have to, unless he feels 100% and just feels absolutely great. If there's any chance at all that he feels a little something and doesn't want to aggravate it, because the cup games coming up are so important to him. And it doesn't mean that they're diminishing MLS. It means, they still want to win MLS Cup too, but there is time to still win that. And these other cups are more urgent. Urgency is going to be the middle name of this team. Which game coming up is the more urgent of the two or three games coming up? And those are the games that they're going to prioritize for Lionel Messi.
Yeah, and with the cushion that they're building with all these early wins, the more they do, the more they can get them, even more leeway they're going to have. It's all strategic. I mean, let's say, I mean, it's nice if they're in first place at the end of the year and they're leading in the standings and whatnot, but they know they get in. That's all they need. They just need to get in the playoffs. Obviously, they don't want to get in as one of the lowest seeds. But the cushion that they're building is going to
They're
give them
middle of the
enough to
pack.
stay right. Third, fourth seed, whatever it is.
Third,
If they get
fourth
in,
place. Yeah, if they're in third or
look
fourth
out.
place, they can still come through and roll over people. So,
Exactly.
or be, highly motivated if they're all healthy. And that's the big if. When this team loses one or two or three of these guys, that's a completely different team. As much as we're singing the praises of all the supporting cast, you don't want to have, everybody in the start, you don't want to have all the stars out at the same time. They want to be strategic and pick and choose. We'll have two out here, but keep Busquets in. The next time, maybe we take Busquets out and we put Alba in for that game, So it's going to be a chess match for Tata and his staff this year. And so far, I think they've managed it pretty well.
They probably have all these permutations already like listed, and then they're gonna have to throw a bunch out, create some new ones along the way. It's gonna be a lot of mixing and matching. But as
Yes.
Michelle said, we will be covering all of those scenarios and all of that in the weeks to come, like always. And obviously next week we'll be back talking a little bit about this match against the Red Bulls and where things stand with Messi and Inter Miami. Thank you once again, as always, for watching and for listening. Remember, you can catch us if you're listening. Catch us on all your favorite podcatchers, Spotify, iTunes, you name it. Watch us on YouTube. Watch us at MiamiHerald.com by clicking directly on this video. But once again, we are very thankful and hope to see you again next week. For Michelle Kaufman, Luis Suarez, and everybody else at Inter Miami, I'm Andre Fernandez, and we will talk to you next week.